The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to verse 38. It is page 86 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am not a virgin." "I am a virgin," the angel answered. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6 months, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. Other than God and Jesus, the name that appears the most often in the Bible is David, and the name is mentioned more than 1,000 times. So we know a lot about David through the Bible. And Jesus came to this earth as a descendant of David, and the people of Israel thought that when the Messiah comes and rules, it would be similar to the time that David ruled as a king. When God established David as a king, he said, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." Therefore, life of David is a kind of model for how Christians should live. But once we begin to examine his life closely, it seems that there were more failures than success in his life. And he had to go through a lot more disappointments than accomplishments. When David was still just a shepherd, God sent Prophet Samuel to Jesse's house to anoint the person who will become king after Saul. Jesse called all of his grown sons, but he just let David tend to sheep in the field. In his father's mind, the possibility that David would become king was 0%. When there was a battle between Israel and Palestine, the first, second, and the third older brothers of David went to war. At the time, a nation system was not fully developed, so the soldiers had to take care of their own meals most of the time. And Jesse told the youngest son, David, to bring food that his brothers would need to eat and get a proof of his delivery. It's kind of hard to understand why Jesse sent the youngest son on this errand and not the fourth through the seven sons, but it's even more puzzling that he would tell David to bring back a proof that the foods were delivered to them. In other words, that his brothers were alive. At least to Jesse, then, what was more worrisome was whether his first three sons were alive than the life of David, his youngest. But David at this war conquered Goliath, who had terrorized the Israelite army and became King Saul's general. But when he came back after victory, he fell out of Saul's favor because of the song that women sang. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And he ended up being a fugitive who was on the run. After David became a king, things went really well for a while, but he had to suffer a lot by taking the wife of Uriah, his loyal general. He had to hear the news that his child committed rape on another, endure the tragedy of a son murdering his own brother. And he had to face a coup d'etat brought on by his son and had to run away, covering his head with his clothes without even wearing shoes as an expression of extreme despair and shame. And in his old age, he undertook a census in order to strengthen his throne and expand his military. It was not just a simple census taking, but an action that was born out of a motive to rely on his military might rather than trusting God. And as a result, an infectious disease broke out all over Israel, and 70,000 people ended up losing their lives. Through these events that happened through the course of his life, David came to understand that his life was not in the palm of his hands, but it is in the hands of God. More than anything, he came to see that God being with him is the ultimate blessing, and there is no better life than a life lived with God. And so David came to profess as follows: "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This Psalm 23 is a summation of David's faith over a span of his entire life. And so we also read this psalm in the same way as we go through each stage of our lives. So this Psalm 23, no matter how old we are, has a deep meaning for us. Even when the psalm is read to a newborn baby or a baby who just had his first birthday, it really moves us when this baby is grown, get a first job and starts out. When the baby goes through school, graduates and starts his first job, starts out military service. When he or she gets married, the psalm would touch him or her in the same way. It would bring a smile to us when we read it in our 10th, 20th, or 30th wedding anniversary, and it makes us thankful when we read it on our 60th, 70th, or 80th birthday. And when throngs of people who rush to me when I seem successful by the world's standards suddenly go away, like ebbing of the waves, when I'm judged to be a failure, or when I'm no longer the center of things and I feel alone. These words bring encouragement deeply within me and supply strength to me. When I lose a spouse through a divorce or death, even at funerals, these words bring consolation. The reason that these words bring encouragement and courage and hope at all ages, in all circumstances, is because of God being with us and because this is the unchanging truth. Angel Gabriel, who came to Zechariah when he was serving the duty of burning incense at the Holy of Holies at the temple, went to visit a young woman named Mary, who was living in Nazareth in the far country of Galilee, 6 months after Zechariah's wife conceived. And verses 28, 29 of today's text testify as follows. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, Mary was greatly surprised, surprised to her bones, not only because she saw an angel, but because of what he said. And in what he said, more because of the words, "The Lord is with you," than the words, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." Now, when we hear the words, "The Lord is with you," it may not move us that much. And it may be puzzling for us to think why those words would make Mary think deeply. Now, the reason for her reaction has a lot to do with the Old Testament. When Abram was 75 years old, God called him and said, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." God promised that he will make Abram to make a great nation, and his name will be great, and he will become a blessing among people. But Abram and his wife Sarah became old, and there was no sign that God's promise would become fulfilled. Ten years after the calling, there was still no son. So Abram then got a son, Ishmael, from the servant of Sarah, Hagar. And he lost himself in the joy of bringing up Ishmael. When Abram was 99 years old, God appeared again to him and Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 5 testifies to what God said to him. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations." God told Abraham to walk before him faithfully and be blameless. This means that what Abraham had done before that time was not done before him, and that he was not being blameless. When a teacher says to students during class, to the students who are sitting at the back, "Are you going to keep doing that at the back?" It doesn't mean that they are doing whatever they're doing at the back of the room. The teacher is trying to say that they shouldn't kid around with each other when the class is going on, but they should look to the front and pay attention to what the teacher is trying to teach. God changed the name of Abram, which meant precious father, to Abraham, meaning the father of many. And reminded Abraham of his promise that he would be with him. He made him recall the promise that was made in the beginning. Now, Abraham does not have any son from his lawful wife, Sarah. Only Ishmael, a son born from the servant of Sarah, Hagar, is the only person calling him father. But still, God promised Abraham that numerous people from different nations will call him father. And God also said this to Isaac, Abraham's son. This is from Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 to 4. Now there was a famine in the land beside the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father, Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." When Abraham was called at age of 75 and got to Canaan, there was the first famine. He lived until the age of 175. And there was a famine during the year that he passed away. Isaac was born when Abraham was 100, so Isaac's age at the time that God spoke to him also is 75 at the time. Therefore, the famine that had come 100 years ago had come again. At that time, Isaac wanted to go to Gerar and then to Egypt. But God then appeared to him and told him not to go down to Egypt, but stay where he tells him to stay. When his father Abraham had gone to Egypt 100 years ago, he ran into troubles there. Now God is preventing what happened then from being repeated at the time of Isaac. And God gave him the same promise that he would be with him and he would bless him, and that Isaac's descendants will be as numerous as the stars, and that all the lands would be given to him. The same promise. And God said the same thing to Jacob, the son of Isaac. This is from Genesis 28, verses 13 to 15. There above is to the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, Jacob tricked his father Isaac with poor eyesight and received the blessing that his older brother was entitled to, and he was on the run to his uncle Laban's house. The night came, and he slept using a stone as his pillow. And this is the word that God, words of God that came to him while he dreamt. God said that the promise that he gave to his grandfather and his father also applies to Jacob, respective for Jacob, and promised him that I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will not leave you until what I have done, what I have promised you. The reason that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were able to live as people of God was because God was with them. God, in order to bring Israelites out of Egypt, first called Moses and said this. This is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 12. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And when Moses died, this is what he said to Joshua. This is from Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 and 5. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God being with was the beginning of Exodus. It was his process and his completion. The word, the Lord is with you, the greeting from Angel Gabriel to Mary, was not simply a greeting. It meant that there was something that God wanted to accomplish through Mary. Mary must have been aware of this. And so she couldn't help but be startled by this. She was just a woman engaged to be married to a carpenter people looked down on. There was no reason whatsoever why God would choose her to do something special. While Mary was startled and flustered and was full of questions this way, what Angel Gabriel proceeded to tell her was even more shocking. Verses 30 to 31 say the following. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. The news that Angel Gabriel brought to Zechariah's home was that a baby would be born to old man and an old woman. This was a news that was really difficult to believe, and so Zechariah, although he was a priest, couldn't believe it and became unable to speak. But the news that was brought to Mary, it was even more surprising, couldn't be compared to what Zechariah heard. That a virgin would come to conceive without a man? We will examine this in more detail next week, but the baby born to Mary is the one who gave us eternal life. It's not possible for finite human beings to understand the work of God that makes a virgin conceive. But God, being with Mary, accomplished his work. Now, the book of Timothy is the last of the letters written by Paul, and it is also known as the Will and Testament of Paul. And yet it's written, "At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, today, Apostle Paul is the ideal example of a faithful Christian and for all Christians. However, while he was alive, he was not always treated well and had to go through many hardships. He was even rejected by his co-workers whom he worked with. If he had been rejected at the beginning of his ministry, he could have started it again with other people. But we see that he was rejected even at the end of his ministry. But he professes at that time that the Lord, by being with him, gave him strength. That the Lord was with him and gave him strength. This was his testimony at the very beginning of his ministry. It was a testimony during the time of his ministry, and his final testimony at the very end. And for us too, this is our testimony at the beginning of our faith, in the middle, and also the end. Today is the second Sunday of the Advent. Advent is when we wait for Jesus Christ, who is coming to be with us forever. Angel Gabriel, who came to see Mary, also went to visit Joseph, her husband, and said this, telling him that the baby conceived by Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is from Matthew 1, verses 23. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." Which means God with us. Now, people say that it's a miracle for a virgin to conceive without a man. Those who do not believe in the Lord questions how that could be. How that could be believed. But the greater miracle that we should have harder time believing is that the being who is equal with the eternal God came to us as a finite human being. Now, this cannot be compared to us human beings becoming a cat or a dog in order to save a dog or a cat, or a human being becoming an insect in order to save a fly, a mosquito, or even a gnat. To us, of course, human beings who live 5 or 6 times longer than a dog or a cat that lives just about 10 years seems to live a really long time. And compared to a fly or a mosquito, which lives only about 2 to 3 weeks, human beings live about 1,000 times longer. So, from the perspective of a fly or a mosquito, human beings seem to live forever. But before eternity, the 80 years of a man's life, a 10 years of life of a cat or a dog, or a 3 week life of a fly or a mosquito, or all but just a tiny dot. How could we understand an eternal being coming as a finite man? What is truly miraculous is not that a virgin conceived without man. What is truly miraculous is that we can believe that he who came as a human being died at the cross as atonement to save us who are sinners into eternal life and lived again and is now at present is with us. Through the truth that the Lord is with us, we can sublimate all pain and sadness to joy. We can be used as a pathway for what God wants to do and live the life given to us faithfully. God speaks to us today through the words of Angel Gabriel, who had come to see Mary on the second Sunday of Advent. The Lord is with you. Let us pray. David was able to overcome big and small obstacles in his life and became a person of faith. Became the ancestor to Jesus and record the Psalms, all because God was with him. Abraham became the progenitor of faith and the pathway to blessing. Isaac became the chain that continued the promise. Jacob became the ancestor of the 12 tribes when he lived a life. When he had lived a life of a trickster who cheated his father, brother and his father, all because God was with them. It was because God was Moses and Joshua that they were able to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and to make a new life in Canaan. Paul, who did not acknowledge Jesus as Christ and hated people who believed in him, was called by God on his way to Damascus and ran the race to the path he was called, although he was rejected by people who had been working with him because God was with him. Mary, although she was of a small stature and powerless, merely a woman engaged to be married to a carpenter, she came to be the earthly mother of Jesus. By God being with her. On the second Sunday of Advent, thank you for reminding us that the Lord is with us too. May the Lord being with us help us to overcome the storms of our lives. Endure even when we are rejected by people. May the Lord being with us become the dynamic force that saves us from being brought down because of our own weaknesses. May the Advent, during which we wait for the Lord who will return to be with us forever, become the season of hope. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.